ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR shortwave on 4.840 megahertz and 3.215 megahertz. That's transmitters 3 and transmitter 1. And shortwave station WBCQ, there's 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations do have a link where you can listen on the internet, or you can go to kingidentity.com, go to our radio page, and you'll see some links there. Scripture tells us, thou shalt be blessed above all people, and Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness, and put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Yet our people continue to have sickness and poor health. What is the reason for this? To help answer this question, my guest is an acclaimed physician who was on the faculty of the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine as an associate professor and vice chairman of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery, and was also chief of orthopedic surgery at San Francisco General Hospital. She developed severe breast cancer diagnosed as terminal, but refused chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery because of their dangerous side effects, and chose instead to get completely well by totally natural means. She is a Christian that relies upon the therapies designed by God. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Dr. Lorraine Day.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. Why don't you start out by telling us how you changed from an establishment medical doctor to someone who believes in natural healing?
Well, when I was in medical school, a long time ago, I realized at that time that doctors don't cure anything. You see, doctors only have two methods of treatment. Sometimes when you see advertisements for various cancer centers, they say, we make the treatment just for you. We design it just for you. Well, no, they don't. They don't. There are only three methods of treating cancer within orthodox medicine. One is chemotherapy. Another is radiation. Now, chemotherapy and radiation both cause cancer. It's crazy to treat cancer with something that causes the disease you already have. We know that with Fukushima, and now they're talking about dumping 1.2 million tons of radiation into the Pacific Ocean. They've already dumped a whole lot in there, which is killing all the sea creatures. But radiation is dangerous. In fact, years ago, doctors used to be honest and say, don't get too many x-rays. X-rays are radiation, and they cause cancer. But now they tell you, well, a little radiation from x-rays is bad, but now that you have cancer, we have to give you huge doses of what we told you to avoid because it causes cancer. You see, doctors really are saying, in order to make you well, we have to make you really sick. Because it's common knowledge what happens to a cancer patient when they have chemotherapy. They lose their hair, they vomit their insides out, they destroy their immune system. Well, God gave us an immune system to get us well. Doctors destroy it. Actually, doctors have become agents of death because they don't get anybody well. People say, well, what about antibiotics? No, antibiotics don't get you well. Antibiotics can destroy some germs, but they don't get you well. Every doctor has had a patient in the intensive care unit very sick with infection. They put them on the right antibiotic in the right dose, and the patient still dies. And the reason is they don't have any immune system left to get them well. You see, because the antibiotic just kills the germ, but you have to have your immune system intact in order to get you well. Not only that, when you take antibiotics, that weakens your immune system, because if you eat the proper way and if you live the proper way, a third of your intestine, a third of your immune system is composed of the good bacteria in your colon. When you take antibiotics, that wipes out the good bacteria in your colon. So you are actually weaker after that treatment. So doctors never get anybody well, because no disease has ever been caused by a deficiency of drug medication. No cancer has ever been caused by a deficiency of chemotherapy. People don't say, oh, my, I have cancer because I didn't have enough chemotherapy in my life. No. And people don't say, oh, I developed cancer because I didn't have enough radiation in my life. No, both radiation and chemotherapy, as I said, cause cancer. Well, then, you know, then they cut out your body parts or cut out your organs. Well, I developed breast cancer. I certainly did not develop breast cancer because I had too many breasts. So cutting one or both of them off was not going to cure me. Doctors work at the wrong end of cancer. In fact, doctors work at the wrong end of every disease. They address symptoms rather than the underlying cause. If you had a sink and a faucet that was running over and it was pouring, the faucet was pouring water into the sink, and the sink was getting full and it was running over onto the floor, you have two choices. You can get a mop and a bucket and keep mopping it up while it keeps pouring over. Mop it up and wring it out, and mop it up and wring it out. Or you can reach underneath and turn off the valve so you turn off the water. Well, of course, it's a whole lot smarter to address the cause rather than the symptoms. But doctors always address the symptoms. Drug medications only treat symptoms. They make you feel better when you aren't better. They make your numbers look better when you aren't better. You see, if you have, let's say you have high blood pressure, the doctor will give you high blood pressure medication. Well, you say, and he'll tell you, you have to be on this for the rest of your life. Why? Because it's not treating the underlying cause of your high blood pressure. It's treating the symptoms. It is artificially lowering your blood pressure while the things that are causing it, you're continuing to do. You see, cancer doesn't fall from the sky. It doesn't just happen. And it's not genetic. It doesn't matter if you've got a whole family full of people that have had cancer. Your cancer is not genetic. If cancer were genetic, then our great-grandparents would have had to have as much as we do in order to pass it down to us. But in 1900, only 3% of Americans had cancer. Now over 50% of Americans will develop cancer sometime in their lifetime, and that number is increasing every year. So cancer,
they're also increasing eating processed foods.
Well, processed foods, absolutely, but there's so much more to it than that. You see, when I first developed cancer, I knew one thing to do, and that was to change my diet. And I changed to the right diet, the diet that is necessary to help reverse cancer, and I'll tell you what that is in a few minutes. And that's the diet I still eat. But after I changed my diet, my tumor continued to grow. In fact, when I was first diagnosed, I didn't think I had cancer, nor did my surgeon. I went to a friend who happens to be a plastic surgeon because I just wanted him to take a little bump off of my chest under local. And he was a former college classmate of mine. And so I went in there. He didn't think it was cancer either. It was just kind of high up on my chest. It was a bump about the size. If you went to the store, and I don't know if anybody knows how big a split pea is when it's dried, but it's really tiny. And it's probably a couple of millimeters in diameter. And the little bump on my chest was even smaller than that. And it only bothered me when I put my seatbelt on. It just seemed to irritate it. And I didn't think it was cancer, and neither did my friend surgeon. So he took it off under local and then sent it to the lab, which they're required to do, and it came back cancer. So I was shocked. He was shocked. I felt fine at the time that this happened. At the time this happened, when I had my biopsy, the first one where they took off that little lump, I was running 5 miles a day. This happened in 1993. I was 56 years old, and I felt fine. But obviously, my body wasn't fine. And that's what throws people off. People write to me sometimes and they say, well, I'm totally healthy except for the cancer. Well, no, you're not. If you have cancer, you're not totally healthy. You have to, your body has to be really sick in order for you to develop cancer, but you don't have to feel sick. When you have a cold or the flu, you frequently feel sick. But when you have cancer, you don't necessarily feel sick, but your body is sick, very, very sick. So my plastic surgeon friend said, look, this is breast cancer, even though it was fairly high up on my chest. And he said, this is beyond my pay grade. I'm a plastic surgeon. Go to a breast cancer surgeon. So at that time, being a surgeon myself, I thought you could cut cancer out. Well, you cannot cut cancer out, but I thought you still thought at that point you could. So I went to a fellow surgeon of mine that was in residency with me in San Francisco. He was the chief breast cancer surgeon at Scripps Hospital in San Diego. And so I went down there and I said, after the incision was healed, 2 weeks later, I said, you can go in through the same incision, just try to get clear margins, but you cannot take a large piece of tissue out. And you certainly can't cut off my breast. So he did what I asked, but he could not get all the cancer out. In fact, I had cancer throughout my chest wall. And so when he did more of a clean out, but all of the margins showed that they had cancer in it. So he, of course, begged me to, he thought I should have chemotherapy and radiation. And at that time, they didn't think I needed a mastectomy, but ultimately they did, because for about 9 months, the tumor did not return visibly. But about 9 months later, it returned in exactly the same spot. And these pictures are actually on my website at drday.com, drday.com. And I show the pictures there. And about 9 months later, it came back. It was about the size of a marble when it came back. And you can see it's right in the area of the old scar from the incision. But then over a 3 week period, it grew from the size of a marble to the size of a large softball or grapefruit in 3 weeks. And I was in terrible trouble. Eventually, it metastasized to the nodes under my arm. I had nodes as big as a walnut in its shell. And then I started having pain in my upper spine, in my back. Which was clearly cancer pain. At that time, I didn't go for another MRI because I wasn't going to have orthodox treatment anyway. Why wasn't I going to do that? Because, as I told you, as a doctor, I already knew that chemotherapy and radiation caused cancer. Why would I have that done since I already had cancer? And I knew that it would do terrible damage to my immune system, the one system God has given to all of us to get us well and keep us well. So I wasn't going to do that. My surgeon friend begged me to go and talk to the oncologist and the radiation oncologist. I said, no, I'm not going to put myself under that kind of pressure because I'm not going to do that. Now, I knew that there were a lot of alternative methods out there. And to make a long story short, I tried virtually all of them. I tried over 40 different types of alternatives. I tried 714X. I tried the macrobiotic diet. I tried not colloidal silver. I didn't try colloidal silver, but I have a DVD called Sorting Through the Maze of Alternative Medicine, What Works, What Doesn't, and Why. I went to 4 different alternative clinics in Mexico. I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Over 2 years, this tumor was growing bigger and bigger. It was extremely painful, and eventually I became bedridden. I was bedridden for 6 months, and got getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and eventually I was not able to eat anything, and eventually I was not able to drink anything, not even water. And if I sucked on ice chips, it would make me so nauseated, I would have the dry heaves. So I was getting worse and worse and worse. And at one point, I was not expected to live through the night. On my DVD called Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore, I show how I was able to stay alive. I had no idea how I would be able to live till morning. My husband, I was on the floor at that time. I had collapsed on the floor, and I couldn't even let him pick me up and put me on the bed because I thought that amount of motion would take the last bit of energy from me, and I would die. And so he said, I've got to take you to the hospital. You're dying. But you see, I knew that if I went to the hospital, my medical colleagues could put an IV in. They could give me fluid because I was very dehydrated, hadn't been able to drink anything for a long time. They could give me fluid, and with the fluid, they could give me nutrition. And in a couple of hours, I would feel like a totally new person. But I knew that I would die. Because doctors don't know how to get you well from any disease. They don't know how to get you well from any disease. I can say that because I'm a doctor, all right? When I was in medical school, as I said, I realized that doctors don't cure anybody from any disease. That's why I became a trauma surgeon. Trauma surgeons are not ER doctors. ER doctors give out aspirin and sew up little cuts that are an inch long or something. Trauma surgeons operate on the massively injured patient that's been run over by a truck, patient that's fallen out of high stories in a building, patient who's had a massive work injury, something like that. Because that's not caused by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. Those things are accidents. And I can put you back together again, and others like me can put you back together again, and then you go and live your life. But diseases never get cured. That's why you have to keep going back for more medicine and more medicine. And every medicine has many side effects. Some of them have over 100 side effects, and they cause other diseases. Then you have to be on medicine for the other diseases. And frequently, as people get older, they're on 3 medications, then 5, then 7, then 10. I've seen patients on as many as 15 medications. And all of these are causing damage to their body, and none of them are curing disease. Not only that, see, patients don't realize that doctors develop cancer at the same rate as the general population. And doctors die of cancer at the same rate as the general population. So if doctors knew how to prevent or reverse their cancer, they would certainly do it in themselves. They wouldn't die from it, but they do. So if they can't prevent or reverse cancer in themselves, how can they do it in you? And the answer is they can't. Now, some people survive these horrific treatments. They do, but they're never really the same. They have so much damage. And then, of course, because of chemotherapy or radiation, they frequently will get another kind of cancer or some other fatal disease before the original cancer comes back, such as when you have, say, a woman has her breasts off because she has breast cancer, maybe in both breasts. Well, if she continues to live, think, act, eat, and handle stress as she did that caused the first cancer, she'll just develop another cancer somewhere else. Or she'll develop a different life-threatening disease, you see. And she now has been compromised. Her immune system has been damaged because of the chemotherapy she was given. If you have radiation, say you have radiation for your breast cancer, well, you are likely then to die of heart disease because as you have had radiation to your breast, it has also radiated your heart because it's right there in the same field. And so then those people frequently die from heart attacks or I have friends who have had radiation to their breast and then they've had to have a coronary artery bypass because there's been so much damage done to their heart and frequently they will die from heart disease before they're able to die from a return of their breast cancer. So people, these things are never told to patients, but doctors all know them. And you also need to know that doctors are more afraid of cancer than patients are. When doctors are together, they frequently won't even say the word cancer. They'll refer to it as the big C because they're terrified of it, because they see what happens to patients when they have all these horrific treatments. And doctors, see, the patient thinks the doctor can make them well, but the doctor really knows he or she cannot make them well. So they're more afraid of it than the patient is. So anyway, I went to four different clinics in Mexico. My cancer just kept getting worse. I tried over 40 different types of alternative medication, alternative treatments, and all natural. I never had chemo. I never had radiation. I never had a mastectomy. Eventually, this tumor grew so big, as you'll see on pictures on my website, and I was so close to death that I had a portion of the top removed, which was opening up on my chest, and I was afraid I would die from overwhelming infection. So I had a portion of the top removed so they could get good skin over it, and then they sent me home to die. But you see, what I finally realized was that all of these alternatives were not really God's way. They were still man's way. Even though they were non-toxic, they were still man's way. And as I was studying a lot of the medical literature that we are never taught in our training, because the drug companies control most of what doctors learn in their training, because drug companies give huge amounts of money to medical schools for research to develop more drugs, and so then they get to control a lot of what the doctor learns. Well, you know, it doesn't make enough money for the drug companies if doctors are taught how to actually get people well by natural methods. And doctors don't believe that anyway. They don't believe you can get well that way. But as I was reading all this other medical literature, I was finding that there were so many things known how to reverse your cancer that are in the medical literature that we're never taught. And then I was also reading the Bible. I was raised Christian, but when I was in my early 20s, I left the church because I could not get my mind around a God who says, love me and I'll let you live with me forever, but if you don't, I'm going to burn you forever in hell. And so I thought, you know, my parents disciplined my brother and I when we needed it, but I knew they would never really hurt us. And yet, they were mere human beings, sinful human beings like every other person. But they would never do that to me. If I became a serial killer, they would hate what I had done, but they would still love me. So I thought, who in the world is this God? And so when I would ask questions of theologians and pastors, and I'd say, who is this God? Well, I'd get a pat on the head, and they'd say, well, God is so far above us, we can't understand him. And, or you'll have to just wait till you get to heaven and ask Jesus. Then I said, well, why did he give us this book, the Bible? If the Bible doesn't tell us who he is, then what good is it? And so I started reading the Bible in a much more focused way than I ever had before, because I didn't want to die. And I had two young sons who needed their mother as well as their father, but their father was not sick, and I was. But children need two parents, and so I started reading the Bible. And I found in Deuteronomy 7:11-15 that God says, if you follow my laws, and that includes all of God's natural health laws, if you follow my laws, my commandments, and that means all 10 of them, and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. And I thought, wow, I'm full of cancer. It's clear I'm not doing all that. So I better learn what it takes to do that. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order to get well. So again, I started reading the medical literature. I found out so many things in the medical literature. For instance, cancerous tumors grow twice as fast if you're breathing indoor air as if you're breathing outdoor air. That is documented in the mainstream orthodox medical literature. We're never taught that in our training. And of course, when a patient goes to the hospital, they're breathing the worst air possible because it's the exhaled air of every other patient around. And so I started spending a lot of time outdoors. And I also learned that a woman can reduce her risk of breast cancer by almost 70% by doing just one thing that's totally free, and that is 4 hours of exercise a week. Now, by this time, when I found that out, I was already too sick to exercise. But I realized that if I could get well, I could start doing that. And I'd done exercise all of my life. But when you're bedridden, you obviously can't. I could barely get out of bed to go to the bathroom. So I also learned that all animal products, meat, poultry, fish, dairy products, and eggs, promote the growth of cancer. And the way they do that is, number one, one of the big causes, and there are others that I'll discuss, but one of the big causes of all disease is dehydration, because people, first of all, are not drinking enough water. People don't realize that you lose 10 glasses of water every day just by living, even if you don't get out of bed. You lose it from breathing. Your breath is moist. You'll fog up a mirror, and you're breathing 24 hours a day. You lose it from perspiration even when it's not hot. When it is hot, you lose much more. And you lose it because when you eat meat, poultry, and fish, which have no water in them, you have to take water out of your cells, put it in your stomach to make digestive juices to digest these things that don't have water in them. When you eat fruits and grains and vegetables, those have water in them. You can make juice out of vegetables and fruits. You can't make juice out of a steak except for the blood. By the way, the Bible says you shouldn't eat the blood, but if you don't eat the blood or the fat, meat probably tastes like shoe leather, so everybody does. But the Bible says that you shouldn't. So anyway, I changed to a total vegan vegetarian diet. I eliminated all processed food. I eliminated all refined sugar and all sugar substitutes. All the substitutes are even worse than refined sugar. When you eat sugar, for every, say you have a Pop-Tart for breakfast, that immobilizes your white blood cells for 5 hours. They cannot help keep you well. If you have something sweet at lunch and some dessert at supper, you have paralyzed your immune system for the entire day. Your white blood cells can do nothing to protect you. People don't realize that. In 1850, the average American ate 8.5 pounds of sugar, refined sugar, a year. Now the average American eats 152 pounds of refined sugar a year. So that is one of the huge things that has happened in the evolution of what, and I don't believe in evolution of people, but in the evolution of what has happened to the diet of the average American. First of all, from 1900 until 1984, the increase in chicken eating, fish eating, milk drinking had doubled. And of chicken eating had gone up 300% just from the early 1900s until 1984. And now it's gotten even worse. So people are eating huge amounts of sugar. They're eating processed food that has all sorts of bad things in it. And they're eating much more meat, poultry, and fish than they ever did before. When you eat meat, poultry, and fish, and dairy products, and eggs, they all contain the animal's hormones. Well, you don't need any extra hormones. You've got enough hormones of your own. And so when you eat the animal's hormones, those encourage the growth of cancer. So, and meat, poultry, and fish, as I said, do not contain water, so they dehydrate your body even more. And they contain no fiber. Fruits, grains, and vegetables all contain fiber. So when you eat meat, poultry, and fish, because they don't contain fiber, it slows down your digestion, and those things rot in your intestine. And that's one of the main things that causes diverticulosis or diverticulitis, which is the outpouching in your intestine. And then all of this meat, poultry, fish, flesh food gets caught in those and gets infected, and then you get terribly sick and you have to have part of your colon taken out. The other thing that happens is that meat, poultry, and fish rots in your intestine. And the blood vessels in your intestine pick up those putrefaction products and deliver it to every cell in your body. So again, I eliminated all animal products. By the way, what's the ideal diet that God gave in the Garden of Eden? Well, it's a totally vegan vegetarian diet. Nothing died. So even the animals were vegan vegetarians. And so what was the ideal diet that God gave the Israelites when he took them out of Egypt to the Promised Land? Well, it was a vegan vegetarian diet. It was manna. And it represented the bread from heaven because it fell from heaven. But the Israelites hated it, and they said, we loathe this light bread. We want the flesh pots of Egypt. So after God had heard that over and over again, he said, okay, I'm going to give you what you want, which, by the way, is the definition of God's wrath. God does not get angry with people like human beings do. His wrath is allowing you to do what you want. So he allowed them to have the flesh food that they wanted. And so he brought quail in, and he said, I'm going to give it to you not for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days. I'm going to give it to you a whole month until it comes out your nose. And so they ate it and ate it and ate it, and thousands died, and it said with the flesh still between their teeth. So what is the diet that we're going to eat in heaven and the earth made new? Well, obviously nothing will die. And so we're going to be eating a vegan vegetarian diet. And so people say, oh, well, you know, but God said we could eat meat after the flood. Indeed, he did. He didn't demand that we eat meat. He said we could. But what happened to the life expectancy when people started doing that? It dropped like a rock. Before the flood, people lived to be 900 plus years old. But in a few generations, it went down to 400 years. And by the time of King David, it was down to 70 years. And even now, Orthodox medical studies show that vegan vegetarians live at least 10 years longer than people who eat meat, poultry, and fish, and dairy products, and eggs. So you see, God has given us the intestine of a cow or a sheep because we have a long-coiled intestine, which is meant for an herbivore. We're supposed to eat a vegan vegetarian diet. And so, but people say, well, how do I get my protein? Well, in one of my books, I show the U.S. Department of Agriculture vegetable protein chart. Every vegetable and fruit has protein in it. God designed it that way. A spinach is 49% protein. Lettuce is 43% protein. Lemons are 16% protein. You don't have to eat the carcass of a dead animal in order to get your protein. Where do you think the cow gets its protein? Cow eats grass. You don't have to get your protein secondhand. The body is designed to make to take the protein out of fruits, grains, and vegetables. You don't need, again, to eat a dead animal in order to get your protein. God has provided it in all fruits, grains, and vegetables. And so, you know, do you want your stomach to be a morgue for dead animals? And that's what people are doing, and this is one of the things that's killing them. People eat so much more flesh food now than they did in the early 1900s. People couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it, and so they were eating mostly a vegetarian diet. And so, and if they did eat meat, it was the cow that was grazing in their backyard. It wasn't all these animals that are factory farmed and given huge amounts of hormones and antibiotics and all that to make them grow fast. So I changed to a totally vegan diet. And that was the right diet, the diet I still eat. It's been 27 years since my diagnosis. I'm totally well, cancer-free. I have the energy of a 30-year-old. Most people who don't know my age think I'm in my early 60s. I still work full-time, as I said, and I can still run. I can play basketball. I have no arthritis. I take no medications. And we just turned into February. This is the 2nd of February. On the 24th of February, I will be 83 years old. And you can see pictures of me on my website. The last picture I have up there is, I think I'm 80 there. But most people, guess my, if they don't know my age, they think I'm in my 60s. One young man recently thought I was in my 50s, and I said, bless you, young man, but I think you need to see your ophthalmologist. But anyway, I have very few wrinkles, because what's the difference between a plum and a prune? The answer is water. A plum is plump, and when you dehydrate it, you get a prune, which is all wrinkled. What's the difference between a raisin and a grape? A grape is plump, and a raisin is all wrinkled, and the difference is water. But it's water on the inside. And so not only do you have to drink your 10 glasses of water, you have to stop doing the things that increasingly dehydrate your body, such as drinking coffee. Coffee is a diuretic. It takes more water out of your body than comes in with a drink. Plus, it has 50 toxins in it. You have to stop drinking caffeinated sodas. You have to stop drinking alcohol. Alcohol is a diuretic. It takes more water out of your body than comes in with a drink. What happens when you put alcohol on your hands? It dries them out. Well, when you drink it, it does the same thing to your body. So you've got to stop doing those things. The other thing is you've got to learn how to handle your stress, because stress is very dehydrating. Also, stress triggers your fight or flight reaction. Every doctor is taught about the fight or flight reaction. When God has provided us with a mechanism to be able to run from a bear or run from an intruder, and so we have this big spurt of energy for a short period of time, like the stories are about a mother picking up a car that's on her child, and we have this tremendous energy for a short time, which is caused by this big shot of adrenaline that comes into our body with the fight or flight reaction. Automatically, our body produces it, but it also produces cortisone. With the fight or flight reaction, cortisone is to help decrease the pain while we're maybe running over gravel when we have bare feet or whatever. But the thing is, it's meant for short term. It's meant for just a few minutes, and then our body has to recover. But now people are so stressed with their job, with their marriage, with finances, with all things, that they are operating with that fight or flight reaction going almost all the time at some level. So they're always pouring this cortisone into their body and the adrenaline. Well, the adrenaline leaches our energy, and the cortisone suppresses our immune system so it cannot fight disease. So we have to learn how to handle our stress. We also have to learn how to handle our anger, our grudge holding, and our lack of forgiveness. Not only I developed cancer because many of the things I was doing were good. I'm a trauma surgeon. I was chief of the department at San Francisco General. I was operating night and day. Frequently, I would operate 72 hours straight. That's almost 2 work weeks straight without any sleep. And how would I stay awake? Drink a lot of coffee, eat a lot of sugar. Well, those things are really bad for your body. But I didn't know any better. I'm a doctor. Doctors don't know anything about health, and they know very little about disease. So I was doing this, and when there was a gang war in San Francisco and people were lined up on gurneys outside my operating room who would die if I didn't operate on them, I couldn't just say, well, I'm tired, I'm going home. So I did that for 20 years, actually, and it was just breaking down my body. I didn't realize how damaging that was. And then I had been through a really bad divorce and a custody battle for my children, which was extremely stressful. And I was angry because my husband of 20 years, I found out, had his 30-year younger girlfriend living in our summer house up in Napa, okay, in Sonoma. And so that, of course, and she was a nurse at the hospital where I was working, and at UC San Francisco, there are about 10,000 employees, but they're like a small town, and gossip goes all over the place. And it was humiliating. My residents came and told me they were seeing my husband cheating on me with this woman all over town. Well, naturally, I was angry. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I was an agnostic because, again, I told you I left the church. And I left God because I didn't understand who he was, and I could not accept what the church taught about him. And so when I developed cancer, one of the things I had to do, which was the hardest thing of all the things I had to do, I had to write a letter to my husband, ex-husband by that time, and his girlfriend, a separate letter to each one, asking for their forgiveness for the things I had said about them. Now, everything I said about them was true, but I had not said it in the right spirit. So I had to ask them for forgiveness. That was so hard for me to do. I had to go down to nothing as far as humiliation is concerned, but I had to do it, and I had to do it in order to get well, and I had to mail those letters, and I had to ask the Lord to make sure that I had the right heart for these people. And that, those things are never talked about in any of these alternatives. You have to really get to know God in a very personal way. You will never find that in a church. You have to do that by studying your own Bible, getting down on your knees, praying to the Lord to give you the right spirit so you don't hold anger and grudge holding and lack of forgiveness for other people. You have to forgive everyone who has ever wronged you. And if the person is around, you have to go to them. If they're still alive, or write to them. And you have to unburden yourself, because you see, when we want revenge, revenge is very sweet, you see, but it kills us. It doesn't hurt the person that you're angry with. It just eats away at you. And you have one to sit down at this vengeful feast and enjoy thinking about how you can get back at these people. But the skeleton at the feast is you. And it's destroying your immune system because it's triggering your fight or flight reaction. So you have to eat a vegan diet. You have to quit eating meat, poultry, fish, dairy products, and eggs. And you have to start drinking a lot of water and a lot of fresh homemade vegetable juice. I drank 13 glasses in between meals, not with meals. If you drink with meals, then you dilute your digestive juices, which decreases your ability to get your nutrition. But when you drink all these juices, and they have to be juices, not smoothies. Smoothies contain fiber. And though fiber is good for you, you get your fiber from your three meals a day that you're eating. But if you are drinking smoothies in between, then your body has to digest food all day long, and you leak the energy that you need to help make you well. And so you've got to use juice, because all the fiber is taken out of the juice. And you say, well, what do I do with all the fiber? Well, put it on your garden. That's a good place to use it. But you can't have your body digesting food all day long. So I drank 13 juices a day. I ate three meals of totally vegan, vegetarian food, no processed food, all organic, with no pesticides on it. And then I drank water in addition to the 13 juices, because I was very, very dehydrated, having been a big coffee drinker all of my adult life. I drank at least 6 or 7 cups of coffee every day just to stay awake, because I was operating so many nights as well as working all day. And so, and then you have to have exercise when you're able to do it. Again, the water, you have to have fresh air. You have to get to sleep at the proper time of night. The healing hormones are produced between 10 p.m. and 2 o'clock in the morning, but you have to be asleep in order for them to work properly. You don't make them if you're awake, so you have to be asleep. Now, I had a problem with that, because for a whole year, I had so much pain with this breast cancer tumor that was so gigantic that I couldn't sleep more than 2 hours a night. But what I would do is I would listen to either high-quality classical music or very high-quality religious music, not this crazy stuff that they're playing in churches these days that sounds like, you know, something you'd hear in a dive, but high-quality Christian music, or I would listen to the Bible being read, and that was before cell phones, and I would listen to it on tape with earphones, and that's how I would spend night after night after night after night, because I couldn't sleep. And then you have to have gratitude for that you're still alive, And you see, I look back at my cancer as the greatest blessing that I could ever have, because it changed my whole life. It changed everything about my life. I spent a lot of time studying the Bible. When I was on my deathbed that night, that my husband was telling me he wanted to take me to the doctor, I said, no, I'm not going. And I prayed this prayer to God. I said, God, I don't even know if you're up there, because if you are, you know my heart, and you know that I think you're a pyromaniac. It seems like you're just a crazy monster, because no human being would ever do to their children what the churches teach you're going to do to your children. And so I said, but I need your help. So please, I'm doing everything I know how to do, and it's obviously not working. And if you're really up there and you're not like the churches teach, then show me. So anyway, he brought to my mind, right at that instant when I decided not to go to the hospital, he brought to my mind a conversation that I had had with my orthopedic mentor 25 years before that I'd never thought of again. He went to medical school before they had IVs, intravenous, they couldn't feed them that way. And so he had told me how they kept patients alive who were dehydrated before they had IVs. And I talk about this extensively on my DVD, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore. So I did that, and I was able to stay alive for the next couple of days. And then I slowly started getting better. And when I introduce all of these things and learn to trust God and not man, because even all of these alternatives were still of man, I learned to trust God. And you see, most Christians in the world don't trust God. They say they do, but they don't. Because remember, God says, if you follow my laws, including all of these natural health laws I've been telling you about, my commandments, and my decrees, I'll keep you free from every disease. Well, what is the first commandment? The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, God says, if you follow my laws, commands, and decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. So he's the one who gets us well by us following his plan. You see, so how many human bodies has your doctor ever created? Well, the answer is none. How many human bodies has God created, including yours and mine? Well, billions. So who knows more about getting you well, God or your doctor? Your doctor, as I said, doesn't even know how to keep himself or herself from getting cancer or any other disease. And God calls all drug medications sorceries and witchcraft. In Revelation 18:23, it says, the whole world was deceived by their sorceries. And that word sorceries in the Greek, which is the language that the New Testament was written in, that word, sorceries, is the word pharmakia, which means pharmacy, which is drug medications. God says that drug medications are sorceries and witchcraft because they lead you away from changing your life the way God wants you to change it and get well his way. And remember, he's given this promise in Deuteronomy, which was written 3,000 years ago. Long before there were doctors and hospitals and drug medications, even vitamins and all that. Because the vitamins and all that are in your food. God made food. He didn't make pills. He made food. And so how did God get people well 3,000 years ago when there were none of these things in modern medicine? Well, the answer is doing it the same way he does now, by our using only the things that God has created and using them only in the form that God created them, not modified by man. Besides, if we needed modern medicine to get us well, then God would be the greatest bigot of all. Because at least 3/4 of the people in the whole world don't have access to modern medicine. But they do have access to water and fresh air and sunlight. Sunlight, by the way, is extremely important, and sunlight does not cause skin cancer. In 1900, 75% of Americans worked outdoors, and there was no skin cancer. Now only 10% of Americans work outdoors, and skin cancer is everywhere. It's shown in the medical literature, and I've got, in my books and DVDs and CDs, I've got over 400 references from the best, the finest medical journals showing why all of these things I've been telling you about work. They're all in the medical literature, but doctors are never taught about them. And so if you go to my website at drday.com, drday.com, there's a starter package. It contains four DVDs, four books, and six CDs. It tells you everything you need to know to get well from cancer or any other disease. By the way, a year before I was diagnosed with cancer, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I had quite a severe tremor. But as I got well from my cancer, you see, I deprived the cancer of what it needed to grow by changing all the lifestyle factors in my life, the way I was living, thinking, acting, eating, and handling stress, and turning to God and not man, not doctors, for the way to get well. So as I got well from my cancer, as my tumor started shrinking and dying, all of my Parkinson's symptoms slowly went away too. I have no tremor. I have no Parkinson's symptoms. I have no cancer. I am totally well. Again, I take no medications. I have no arthritis. I can still run. I can still play tennis. I can still play basketball. And I will be, in a few weeks, I'll be 83 years old. And I still work full time. So you can be that way too if you turn to God, but people turn to man, they turn to doctors, and God is the healer. He shows us how to be well. And so, but we, most people don't want to give up their dearly held habits that have caused their disease. Diseases, as I said, don't just happen. We give them to ourselves slowly over a long period of time, usually many years, by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. And then people will say, well, some babies are born with cancer. They don't have many years to develop it. Well, yes, and that's because babies, when they're in the womb and when they're young, after they're born, they have no developed immune system. They have no immune system. But when they're in their mother's uterus, they are eating the same way their mother eats. They are handling stress, and they have no ability to handle it. Their mother has an immune system, and she has something to protect her. The baby has nothing. And so the baby is exposed to all of this bad food and sugar and all the stress that the mother is under. And so the baby, because it has nothing, no immune system to protect itself, it can develop cancer before it's even born. So that's the problem there. So you don't have to be sick. God says, get well. Do it my way. And everybody's going to have to learn how to do that anyway. God's not going to wave a magic wand after us, on, over us after we're dead. If we die from disease, we're going to be resurrected with disease. Because at the judgment, that's when God, the judgment, the Bible tells us what happens at the judgment. Well, people learn how to do right. Isaiah 26:9 and Psalms 94:15 says, when the judgments of God are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. They will learn to do right. So you can't get away without doing it God's way, and you certainly can't do it on this earth and be well. God has given us a way to be well. He's provided fresh air and say, oh, well, look at the pollution. Well, I didn't get well 100 years ago. When the soil was better and when there was no pollution, I got well in the last 25 years, when there has been pollution and, there are chemtrails in my sky just like there are in your sky, but still outside air is better than inside air. So we need fresh air, sunlight. Sunlight decreases the size of internal cancerous tumors. Sunlight boosts the immune system. Sunlight lowers stress. Sunlight does all sorts of wonderful things, and it does not cause skin cancer, even though every doctor is taught that. But there are studies done in the medical literature which shows that that is not true. And so you can be well just like I got well. No one has to be sick, but people trust the doctor. They trust man instead of trusting God. The Bible says in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than man. And some people say, well, God gave us doctors. Well, just because they're here does not mean God gave them to us to use. There are prostitutes and drug pushers and all that on the earth. That doesn't mean we're supposed to use them. God clearly says that drug medications are sorceries and witchcraft because they pull you away from God and getting well his way. And Satan comes along and says, here, you don't need to change your life. Here's a pill. Just take a pill. It's a quick fix. It's a quick fix. And God doesn't want it. He wants to change our life. So,
well, for people on medication that want to return to a natural lifestyle, would they drop it all at once, or is there a way to reduce or eliminate or substitute something as they return to a natural health?
Well, first of all, there are some things that are pretty easy to do. Drinking water is pretty easy to do. Getting to bed earlier is pretty easy to do. And getting out in the sunlight is pretty, and exercising. Those things don't really take a big change in life. Eating a vegan vegetarian diet. In one of the books that's in my starter package, I have over 100 recipes. They're simple. They're easy, to make. And over 100 recipes, that are vegan vegetarian. And there are many books that you can buy that have vegan vegetarian recipes in them. If you don't have a life-threatening disease, you can transition more slowly. But if you do have a life-threatening disease, I had to change all in one day. I was not going to say, oh, well, you know, I have a life-threatening disease, but I'm going to do this slowly. That doesn't make any sense. You really have to move fast if you have cancer or some other disease. And again, if you're mature, which all of us should be, what you say is, I'm going to do it because it's right. You know, mothers don't really like to change babies' dirty diapers. They don't like to, but they do it because it needs to be done. And it's the right thing to do. And when God says, I want you to do it this way, if we truly love God, we'll do it his way. And if we're mature, you know, it's little kids that say, well, I don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter if we like it or not. People say to me, well, I don't like carrot juice. I said, what does that have to do with it? You do it because it's the right thing to do. And God says, he who destroys God, that we're the temple of the God, and he who destroys God's temple, him will God destroy. Well, God doesn't destroy us. We destroy ourselves. So if you don't have a life-threatening disease, you can transition more slowly. But if you do, you better get right on it because you don't have a whole lot of time.
We're about at the end of the broadcast. Would you like to once again give your contact information out so
yes.
People can learn more?
Yes, you can go to my website at drday.com, drday.com. There's a lot of information to read on there, too. By the way, if anybody's afraid of the coronavirus, just read what I've written on there. If you go all the way down to the bottom of my homepage, there are a lot of links to articles there. I talk about swine flu and bird flu and SARS and all that. Well, the coronavirus is nothing but another one of those things that they want to scare you with. So then they'll declare martial law and they'll force vaccinations. And it's the vaccination that will kill you and not the coronavirus. The coronavirus is a cold virus. It causes the common cold. But they're hyping it all up just like they did with SARS and MERS, M-E-R-S, and swine flu and the bird flu. And there were never millions of people who died from those things. This is just another one of those kinds of things. But the American public fall for it all the time, just like when Lucy in the Peanuts column holds the football for Charlie Brown to kick every year. He thinks she's going to hold it, and every year she pulls it out. And they keep doing it to the American public because it continues to work.
Well, thank you for being on the broadcast tonight, but we're just out of time. You've given the people a lot to chew on, and I'm sure it will be helpful.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. herald of truth.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.